It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, once again, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. And it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Terry Snyder. Welcome, Terry.
Good morning, Mike.
And I'd like to also welcome into the studio Zaz Hollander. Zaz, welcome.
Hi, Mike. Good to be here.
And on the phone from Talkeetna, Philip Manning. Welcome, Philip.
Thank you, Mike.
Last night, I admit that I stayed up late. I'm talking about the Thursday night events that happened in Washington, D.C. And I know we're going to cover a number of topics, but I just have to do that because it seemed there was so much drama focused on a Senate that hung out there until almost 2 a.m. this morning. And the drama was accentuated by a vote by none other than John McCain, who had a connection to Alaska, of course, when he ran for the presidency and chose our own Governor Sarah Palin as a vice presidential candidate. So, Philip, in Talkeetna, any people react to what happened there or you yourself?
I mean, I haven't heard any reactions to what happened in the wee hours of the morning on the East Coast so far. But in general, I think there's kind of a feeling of bafflement as far as what's going on in Congress and the Senate in particular at this point.
Okay, I would say that. Zaz, you before we began this show, you were speaking a little bit in some general terms. How would you sum up your own sense of that event? And here I'm trying to draw and say, yes, 4,000 miles away, Washington, D.C., here we sit in Alaska thinking about some other things. What's your opinion?
Well, Alaska got dragged into the debate with Senator Lisa Murkowski, and her decision to vote no, which was not popular with our president. And she heard about it directly from the president before the vote and sort of during the process after. The Interior Secretary called her and leaned on her basically to change her vote, which she did not. But so Alaska had our day in the sun. It's been a while since President Trump tweeted about Alaska, and he hadn't taken Senator Murkowski to task before, despite some other votes that were unpopular with the administration.
Okay, Terry.
Well, as someone put it, it's a new day when two women and a terminally ill man changed the course of history with healthcare, and that's what happened last night. Look, I think that Lisa Murkowski has been pretty clear from the very beginning and consistent on the way she felt as this rolled out, that the process was terrible. She was excluded from the table, even as in her position as the Senate chair of health. And this is what she bought onto, was to have something like what happened last night passed in the dark of night. And I think she was extremely brave to stand up to them and the bullying that came from not only the president, but members of her own party. And she picked people over party. And I think she did exactly what she's been so famously quoted. And she got down to doing a little bit of governing, which I hope shows between Senator McCain's impassionate speech and their own vote from these two women, Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski, that that's what the American people deserve and expect. And hopefully that might set the tone from here on out. Maybe I'm guardedly optimistic or just a little giddy that it's all over for now and up late listening to it. But that's what we should all be hoping for at this point.
Okay. Any response, Philip?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a very interesting week kind of watching from afar to see kind of the resurgence of the power of the moderate Republican at this point, because with such a narrow majority in the Senate, you've got two, Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski, who are clearly willing to kind of buck the administration a little bit. And so beyond that, all it takes is one more. And so to have Senator McCain, after the speech he gave the other day, especially talking about getting back to regular order, getting back to the way that things are supposed to be done in the Senate, it's when I woke up this morning and read the headlines about how all of that had gone down, it's it'll be interesting to see where things go from here, because you've got someone who has been, Senator McCain's been in the Senate for 3 decades at this point, I think. Senator Murkowski, of course, has been there for over 10 years now, over going on 15 years, I think. But to think about what's going to happen next, and then the entire last week has been kind of a whirlwind. Like any news out of D.C. over the last week or so has been, to try to keep up, has been an interesting task, but I really have no idea what's potentially going to happen next.
Okay. Well, and let me just put a more personal and down-to-earth kind of view on this. Just a reminder, we've had an opportunity to talk to someone who lives in a state which has had Medicaid expansion. Of course, Alaska is one of those states. So if you live in Alaska or Iowa, for example, and you're being covered under an Obamacare Affordable Care Act insurance policy, and you decide to move. Let's say you move to Florida. I pick Florida because Florida is not a state which has selected expansion. And what happens if, in particular, you're being covered because you have an ongoing issue? Just a reminder that there is no national program. The way all of this works out is on a state-by-state basis. So if we talk about someone who does move from Alaska or Iowa to Florida, there is a very significant change in the coverage that's available to you medically. And I bring that up because I think that is one of the issues that is very specific to people's lives, because Americans move around a lot. And it is one that I did not hear anyone speaking about when talking about the generalities of a skinny or a fat or whatever kind of program was being thought. So I just throw that out to be reminding people that on the ground floor, when you're talking about insurance for you and choices of life where you may move, this is a big deal. This is a big deal.
Well, and that's what we would hope would come out of the committee process. And I think Senator Murkowski was pretty clear. I mean, she preferred to have the whole Medicaid issue separated out from, you know, the private insurance issue. So we'll see if they take that route. But, you know, I think this brought together a lot of people once they were educated on what Medicaid did. I think there were a lot of people that were under programs. They had no idea what the effects were. There were seniors that didn't know that they were going to be charged 5 times more than anybody else. Where they're already charged 3 times. They probably didn't know that. So there was a lot of, you know, kudos to everybody out there. And it was a huge amount of people that just tried to educate the public on not so fast, because, you know, throwing out the water, you know, the bath with the baby is really going to affect a lot more people than you think. And even in Florida, you know, when pre-existing conditions would have been affected, even with the people that had personal care and workplace insurance. So I think the more that it came out, and I think that was the falling of McConnell and the group, was that they just wanted to shove it through and worry about those details later. And I think that Senator Murkowski and Senator Collins, they had been to this before, and they know that's not the way it's going to happen. And as far as the majority goes, you know, when the Tea Party came riding in with Ted Cruz and that group, they were a minority too, and they did an awful lot of changing being the minority. So this could be a very powerful group, being even the minority of the GOP, if they're able to find common ground on this, because there's support for changing and fixing what's they presently have, and I think they're going to get that support from people.
And right, and especially when you have a balance where one or two votes one way or the other makes a huge difference in things. Well, let's bring this home to the Valley. This is the Valley Edition. Mike Malevsky, and I'm here with 3 panelists today, Philip Manning from Talkeetna, and 2 people in the studio here, Terry Snyder and Zaz Hollander. Other events, it was a big night or a big day, because you could have, if you were tired of what was happening in Washington, D.C., look toward Juneau. And in Juneau, there was passed a relatively small capital budget, $200 million, which, however, is leveraged over $1 billion. Up there in Talkeetna, does this capital budget approval have any direct impact?
You know, not nearly to the degree that the operating budget had. I mean, we do have, you know, the Parks Highway work that's going on that does leverage a lot of federal dollars, and that's going through this area right now. And so the capital budget impacts that over the next couple of years. But the biggest thing that's going to have an impact here is there was an effort to bring the PFD back to the formula amount, which didn't go anywhere. But I think that's going to have the most direct impact on the people here. And when you're dealing with an area that's got a relatively high poverty rate up here, that's almost, I hesitate to say, a form of taxation, but when you're talking about what's going to impact people, like, in their day-to-day lives, in their pocketbooks, I think the fact that people are going to be dealing with, you know, slightly less than half of what the formula said their PFD should be, that is going to have an impact here.
Okay. Zaz, what's your sense of that?
I think that the Phillips summation is fairly spot on for most parts of the borough. They're in a sort of a pie in the sky aspect of the budget. There was money moved out of the Kinnickarm Crossing towards some North Slope Road or management plan development for potential roads in the future on the slope. And so, you know, money out of the Kinnickarm Crossing, you know, it had been a priority of our borough assembly, but in reality, that money and that project wasn't sapping too much in the way of borough funds, although there is a proposal now or a public notice out now for some submerged land transfer from the state to the borough for the port that's out there, and I believe also in the area of the Kinnickarm Crossing, but I could be wrong. So it's got some little legs on it yet.
Okay. And Terry?
Yeah, I think the people, they have had 1 year to get used to a little bit less PFD, and it has been less than what we got last year. It's been $600. So the whole idea of it is where it has to be an adjustment for people. So, yeah, you're going to hear a lot about that because now we're going to launch into election year, and it's going to be the favorite whipping boy of people that are running against the governor for sure. And it is... Phillip's right. It does hit people hard economically that don't have a lot of options for making it up in the places that they live. But, you know, there's a lot more, like Phillip said, to be concerned about, and not just the operating budget that they passed, but the one that they're going to take up. And there's also should be a lot of concern as how long it took and what the cost was for legislators to come to those conclusions. Just the cost to get everybody to Juneau for 1 day to meet on something that just seems silly that they couldn't have done while they were already there 2 months beyond what they should have been. There should be some pretty hard questions about that, I would think.
And still no revenue plan.
Right.
Okay. So let's go to the two topics. I'm going to start with the T topic, taxes. Mm. This has been one. We have seen the superintendent of schools, Monica Goyette. She's been traveling about. She's been at city council meetings. She's spoken about the impact, the potential impact for the borough tax proposal on the school district. We've had city councils and other groups have spoken out. How are taxes viewed in Talkeetna, Philip?
Well, the idea of the sales tax to support education funding is somewhat complicated by the fact that up here, there's also going to be a ballot measure that would establish a sales tax to support the sewer and water system up here, which, of course, is kind of a perennial ongoing issue. So there's some concern on behalf of the folks that are in support of that sales tax to support the sewer and water system that if that were to show up on the ballot alongside the sales tax to support the schools, that both might end up failing. Now, of course, you've got substitute ordinances to have a special election in January for the school sales tax, which will be heard on Tuesday. So maybe it won't have as much of an impact, but that's been the primary concern I've heard here, is that having two sales taxes on the ballot at the same time might cause both to fail, at least in this area.
Okay. Zaz, comment?
There's a similar concern in Wasilla where they've got, I think it's a 3% for police funding, and the city is adamantly opposed to a larger tax out there, I think, that could do the same thing. Piggybacked on, you know, voters theoretically go to the ballot, look at it and see so many taxes on there and just say, heck no, I'm giving enough as it is, and they're cutting my dividends, so no. Either way, it's a really heavy lift for any of those. Maybe Talkeetna is slightly different, but and actually Wasilla too, I don't know. But sales taxes are a heavy lift in anywhere and certainly in the Valley.
Terry, what about your sense of the borough's perspective, remembering that we have a multi-step process? We still have to have the borough assembly put this thing on the ballot, complete that process in whatever form it is. Right now, we're not sure what we're talking about except taxes. And then the ballot itself.
Yeah. So, you know, it could be very slim pickings to get the votes to get it on. I kind of think that the assembly person up there from Talkeetna Way, where Philip is, probably is not, for the same reasons that Philip's outlined, is probably not that thrilled about having it on this ballot. And all the way down to, he's not up for re-election, but Dan Mayfield is in the Big Lake area, and Wasilla has a seat up for election. And I would imagine they're not going to be favorable for it. So it could just go die right there. Now, as far as January goes, I think it has a better chance of being rolled out to the voters in January after all said and done, because I think they have those type of things have a better chance in a special election. But it remains to be seen. I think it's a tough sell until Anchorage does it, is forced to do it. And also, again, back to the uncertainty with the state and what that's going to mean. Is there going to be a statewide sales tax? We don't tax reform nationally. How is that going to affect Alaska? A lot of uncertainties that probably won't be decided by January. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, moving from taxes, we've been pointing toward the election and balloting that happens in October. Down here, particularly in Palmer, we have a couple of Palmer City Council seats. And we know that the Borough Assembly has two seats that are coming up that will be voted on. And I'm wondering, Philip, other than the ballot measures affecting taxes, what do you see on the October ballot that affects Talkeetna?
Well, interestingly, up here in District 7, with the sales tax to the borough-wide sales tax being potentially moved to January, the only thing that would be on the ballot for District 7 come October would be the Talkeetna Sewer and Water sales tax, which would include, I think there's like 140 people that live inside the Sewer and Water District, and they're the only ones who would be allowed to vote on that specific tax. So for most of District 7, that's all they would vote on, because now that the school district seats are districted the same way that the assembly seats are, our area's school board seat was chosen last year. Dr. Donna Dierman was elected again. So that would be the only thing on the ballot for anyone in District 7 would be the Talkeetna Sewer and Water District sales tax.
Interesting observation. And some of us, of course, would have multiple choices, and depending on where you live, if you live in the city of Palmer, you'd have the city council members, and you'd have a ballot proposition for taxes. And
But we also should keep in mind the assembly could probably come up with something. I think they could probably do it from the assembly table to decide to get consensus, because this is the last meeting, I think. Am I right, Zaz?
To get something on the ballot?
Right.
I think it's August 4th.
They could make a motion and vote on it right there to add something else to the ballot. So it may not be so simple. It sounds simple, Philip, but it may not end up that way. We'll see.
And the other point made by the superintendent of schools, Monica Goyette, is that, of course, none of this affects this upcoming year in terms of monies. It, as I understand, will take a few months for the borough, even if it should be on the ballot and it should pass. So we're looking at an effect of the taxes in terms of monies going someplace next year's budget, not this year's budget. Just that's always an important point to make. Philip, I've brought up a number of topics. Are there other topics that you'd like to address before we finish up? We have a few minutes left here from the Talkeetna perspective.
So in news up here, the Talkeetna Sewer and Water System again, which there is going to be a sales tax on the ballot here for this area to help support that. They did test out of compliance for the month of June on fecal coliform, well out of compliance. And so that's that's an issue that looked like maybe there was some improvement happening there, but now, at least as far as on the end result, there seems to be some backsliding. So eventually that system is aging. That system was put in the mid to late 80s, and so it's going to be something that has to be addressed eventually, one way or the other. And because of the way that special service areas work, it's going to fall on the people and businesses that are within that service area to end up kind of footing the bill. The boroughs put in to get some USDA money potentially to help get a capital fund going, but it's an issue that is, yeah, it's going to have to be solved locally ultimately. And I feel like there's some rumbling that maybe the I word is going to come up again soon, and maybe there's some people pushing for incorporation, but as long as the sewer and water system is in the state that it's currently in, I don't see that going anywhere.
Okay. Terry, you've been traveling a bit not so long ago. You've been around and about. Have we missed any topics that you've been focused on?
Well, I was hoping Zaz could give us an update on the little houses springing up all over the valley.
Oh, there we go.
Detached fourplexes.
Detached fourplexes, that's right.
And they're up the Willow Way as well. So close.
How many
close
have
to,
been built?
The assessor's office is the only place the borough could look to for a count, and it was 140 parcels assessed as multifamily, detached multifamily, which if that's 140 one-acre parcels or so, I think those were averaging an acre and a half with four houses on it.
So what's the concern? What's the concern?
The concern is mostly with potential for groundwater contamination of having four little septics on 1 acre, okay. Acre after acre. Okay. There's some other there's aesthetic concerns, there's traffic concerns, there's emergency
property
response
value.
Concerns, property value concerns. Flip side is affordable housing. It's also a good business venture. You buy one house, you rent out the three cracker boxes, as one tenant called them, and you can pay off your mortgage and have a little bit of spending money every month.
Okay. So. And that process is just ongoing, and it will happen, and there's...
The borough is now reviewing its process.
Oh
because they rolled back their subdivision code regarding multifamily a few years ago. And so now they are revisiting that code and presumably making some changes. There are a few hints out there, but nothing has been suggested yet. Okay. And that's a 6 to 8 month process. And at this point, there's no moratorium. The Fish Hill Community Council, at least, is asking for one.
Okay.
Just wait until you guys can figure out what you're doing with these.
So that will be another topic that we will be seeing discussed at the table with the Borough Assembly.
That's right.
Well, once again, we have run out of time for this edition of Valley Edition. And Philip Manning, I want to thank you for persisting and calling in today. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, Mike.
And I want to thank both Terry Snyder and Zaz Hollander for making your way into the studio on what looking like it might be a mixed sunny day. Thank you, Terry, and thank you, Zaz.
Get out for Palmer Pride today, 4 to 6.
There
Thanks,
we go.
Mike.
All right. Take care now. We'll be back with another edition next week.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.